If you can, please say shh.
No.
Shout! Yes! Thank you, God! Thank you, God! Yes!
Woo! If you're sexy and you know it, say shh.
This entire weekend has been a complete experiment. This is amazing. Husbands, I just want to tell you how absolutely incredible your wives are. I was really, really blessed to be with them, and their hunger shocked me. Shocked me. You don't even know the stuff that they pulled out of my mouth today and out of my physical body, to be honest with you. But I learned a lot being with them. I learned a lot about just us women in general and how they truly desire to be sexual, and that our whole culture and family situations, all that stuff, just put it all on lockdown. And I saw women come out of a prison today and go and step out with their questions and realizing that they've never had a place to even ask questions like that. You know, so the shame was shattered one level at a time. And so this has been radical. And what I would have done to have been in the other room hearing and learning what the guys are learning. But ladies, I'm so very proud of you. One step at a time into coming into the freedom of who you are as a lioness. Boom.
Yeah. We used to joke all the time. I'd say, "See that, babe? That's what you do to me." We'd watch these nature shows, and you'd see the lions all like this, you know, and she just walked by. And the lion's like.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. And on that note, you know, this weekend has unfolded really surprisingly. And I had a plan. I did. I know you know I had a plan. And that plan was completely erupted. It was erected. A different plan was erected and then erupted.
Keep going.
the whole plan, meaning I had a very loose plan. I had some loose ideas, and really our hearts were, the three of our hearts were, we were supposed to be here to record something, and that didn't happen. I mean, we recorded something, but this is definitely not what we were going to record by any stretch of the imagination. And I'm just so very blessed to have had the chance to work with my husband this weekend and a ton of, you know, and all of us just going, you know what, let's just see how God unfolds this thing. And he absolutely unfolded some crazy, amazing things these last 3 days. And I've learned so much about him this weekend, so much about him. It so was led by God. So, needless to say. So originally, we were going to have a section on sex just last night, and it was going to be that part that was only going to be not recorded for the MP3s, because what I didn't want to have happen is people can be dishonest, and they can trap our words and make us sound to say things completely out of context. And so we had just last night was going to be the section on it. But as I kept studying you guys and feeling what was going on in with the Spirit, it was very obvious that sex needed to be the main theme of the entire event. And I've learned a lot about that, meaning a lot about how our men have been cursed, their very manhood, the very manhood has been cursed, and largely by women and our society, how that if we can build that, celebrate that, edify that, and welcome that, that strengthens us as well. It strengthens us women. It strengthens our family. It strengthens our businesses, our careers, our everything. So anyway, so we were not going to have any of the sexual content conversation on the MP3s at all. It was just going to be all the other content that was going to be available on the MP3s, simply because we don't want anybody taking an MP3, grabbing a piece of it, and then going crazy on the internet and saying, Danny and Hans are for whatever, right? And twisting our words and twisting our positioning and twisting our training. And so, but we all three feel like we're just going to trust God on it. So all of the content that has been delivered from the stage is on the MP3. So that means it's your responsibility to be honorable with that content. And if you're going to be dishonorable with that content, I fear what he will do to you. Because that is completely dishonorable. And if you, this content is for you. This is not something you go share with your friend. This is not at all. This was an entire laid out experience of first dealing with all of our heart issues, right? And the sexual experiences, you've all had a sexual experience being here, regardless if you had sex or not. You've had intimacy with your God this weekend. You've had more intimacy with your mate this weekend. And we've all had more intimacy with each other in the places we've been allowing each other to talk about and where we've been able to go and the questions and the wonder that we've been able to explore. So, yeah, it's a crazy thing. But I trust my God. We do. Sorry, just flipped my mic out of my hair. We'll just see how it goes, but honestly, you do the right thing. And if you don't, you have to understand, a curse will follow. There's no question. And there's no question that a tremendous ouch, I just pulled the hair off my face. Yeah, I have sideburns. Anyway, so do many of you, men and women both. We're going to trust your honor and trust that you'll do the right thing and that you'll keep this content for yourself and only for yourself and not share this information with anybody. So are we good with that?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's yours. And again, we have a little bit more to go. We have three very important things that we want to send you home with. Some simple instructions of where do we go from here. And largely, you need to be tapped into your God and directing you, especially with all the sexual conversations that are going on. There's been a lot of conversation about pornography also. Are Hans and Danny for it? It doesn't matter whether we are or not. I say personally, I am not for it. It's uncomfortable for me for who I am at this time in my life. And I'm not saying I hope to get okay with it. But I have a greater understanding of it and why it's there, deeper than just my judgment of it. And I told the ladies today that, the reason why we hate it so much is because we're jealous of the beauty that is being shown because we've locked ourselves down. And the lack of security that we have in ourselves, that when we've seen images or we hear about pole dancers or strippers or any of that stuff, it's pressing on our insecurity. We put our beauty and sexuality that we were made for on lockdown. So when we see that, what are we looking at? That's beauty. That's the women being women, and we've cursed that, which meant we've cursed our own beauty, our own sensuality, our own sexuality, our own freedom is what we've cursed. So I see that differently now for myself as this training has unfolded right before me, and I've been able to attend this event with you. So I see the whole stripper thing completely different now. I see the natural part of it and not just the what I perceive in my programmed mind to be the evil of it. But I want to tell you that, and I've had those discussions with my husband, it just makes me really uncomfortable. That's where I'm at. But that doesn't mean it makes you uncomfortable. This is between you and your God. We are not your God. We are not your God. Neither is your pastor, your priest, or your rabbi. You're going to be face to face with your God about these things. So even something like that, discuss all that you've heard and learned here, and it has to be between the two of you with your God. So what's right for us may not be right for you, meaning the two of you. And what's not right for us may not be wrong for you or right for you. Does that make sense? So please don't use anything that's been spoken here as liberty or leverage in any way. It is to bring you into an understanding and to conversate about it and to search it out with your God and with your mate with an openness so that you can get the answers. Does that make sense? So anyway, you ready? Do you want me to sit while you do your thing? Or do you want me to leave?
No. Yeah. Okay, so we're doing priorities.
Yes.
Okay, cool. So, one of the things... Are you hot?
I'm always.
She's always hot. Okay, so guys, you were awesome in there too. Yeah. Awesome band of warriors, you know, and I admire all of you. And you know, we've thrown a lot of stuff out on the table here, this event, right? And it really is true that we have to choose and know the highest law of things and be accountable to that and to not transgress on that person in our life that is the most important person that he gave us, and to honor that relationship. When I use the word honor, that means it's a different program here than there, right? So that's where the law of love comes in, that we can set aside our own feeling or opinion or even desire and work through that, and most importantly, surrender it to him. He doesn't want us to be dependent or addicted to anything. Yeah. His heart is for us to be free. And the mind of man thinks if we have a system, that we can put our trust into that will give us the freedom that we're so desperately looking for. And the only thing that can fill that is a relationship with him, walking with him. He uses those around us. Iron sharpens iron. Solomon wrote a lot about surrounding yourself with wise counselors. And And there's a lot written about look to the ways of old. Do not forsake. And we live in a day and age where we just want to say, so we're looking to government, we're looking to media, we're looking to a man on a stage or a woman on a stage to tell us. So we're a culture and a society that's lost today to the point that we don't know who we are down to the most core level of what that is, which is our own sexuality. So his heart is always to free us from that, but that doesn't mean we just throw the baby out with the bathwater. You know, a wise man surrounds himself with good counselors, but when I stand before him, there's none of those counselors are going to be there answering for me. And that's for all of us in here. So for many years, we followed a system of priorities in our lives that helped us deal with the management. One of the things that came up was the challenge of juggling, right? Home, family, business, finance, all of that. Kids, it can be very challenging. And if I could get the, this is going to get tough to hold this the whole time, so I don't know where that other mic is, but... So we followed a system for many, many years, and it worked. So having said that, we do look for those 1, 2, 3 steps, and we do find success in. Can you?
While you're getting mics, I'm going to tape that to your mouth. I'm going to touch on time secrets for a second, so that's perfect. How many of you? It works when my mic is on. How many of you familiar with time secrets? How many of you own Time Secrets? Wow. You guys are like the most committed clients. You're amazing to me. So basically, you own it. You've been through it. We're not going to reteach it. It is a very important teaching to go through at least once a quarter because it's very easy to get off track. How many of you are not familiar with Time Secrets? The same people who are here for the first time. Or, right? This is your first event. Okay. Time Secrets, the reason why they all own it and have been a part of it, they were First Steps and most of them Dynasty graduates. And he has to go back up there. Oh, come here. No, I promise. Oof. Oh, my God. Ooh. That's really nice. Everything is fine. Anyway. Wow. And he needs to tape it to you. So, Time Secrets is a training that actually saved my life. I was working 100 hours a week. This is 22 years ago. I had done this for about a year and a half. I was running 2 companies at the same time, plus trying to build a sales force. So it was like running companies, but working within it as well, building it itself. So it's like 3 full-time jobs, thus 100 hours a week. And I had a nervous breakdown and a heart attack at 24 and 25. I almost lost my life. My husband saved my life. Come here. It's still not right, and it's the wrong tape. Mona, tape, please. Thanks. Learning to optimize my time and manage my time literally saved my life, saved our marriage, and tripled our income. It's the power of focus and establishing some priorities, and there's a lot of details that goes along with it, and including designing your life. At Creating a Dynasty, we spend about 2.5-3 hours to actually sit down and do that. From the beginning of catching that vision, writing it out, and creating it is what we do with that. So the Time Secrets is important to go through once a quarter, but we're going to get a little bit more granular. So those of you who have not been to Creating a Dynasty, you need to go to Creating a Dynasty. You'll now be qualified to go. You usually have to go through First Step Success first in order to go, even though we did not get through any First Steps content correctly this weekend. at all. And I'm grateful for that. And I'm sorry for the moments that there were, because again, we came in here with a plan and that thing got hijacked. Your desire hijacked it. Your need hijacked it. Your father heard what your need was. And it has been an amazing, awestrucking experience to spend these 3 days with you. So with Time Secrets and creating a dynasty, it's important to have some kind of structure, if you will. And I went from 100 hours a week down to 20. And we rediscovered each other. I became the mother of the household. I did the cooking, the cleaning, the everything of the household. And I found great peace in coming into my role right there. But again, tripled our income by doing that. And so we're going to get a little bit more granular understanding that majority of this room has studied Time Secrets, has applied some part. How many of you have applied some part of it? How many of you have been able to reduce your hours using it? So there you go. How many have increased your income? Awesome, using it. So this thing is a very powerful training, where as people work in too many hours, they got too much to juggle, something has to give. And so you've all heard me teach Time Secrets. Now you're going to hear an even deeper perspective that we've come into understanding the last 4 years, actually. 4 years ago, Hans encountered an amazing mentor and man who has made a massive impact on his life, clearly.
That on. Make sure it's the right tape.
It is now the correct tape. Now.
Awesome. Okay, so we had our system for years, and as she said, I met somebody 4 years ago when we were going through the valley of the shadow of death, and I won't say it the way I did with the men earlier today, but God brought somebody into my life. So this gentleman is... He was really the first person in my life who I didn't know, who shared and who I experienced the love of the Father through. And it radically, radically changed my life. He's a PhD in family counseling and human sexuality, as well as psychologists. So this is a priority structure known as a he calls it a priority temple, and this is you're probably familiar with, right? That foundation being on the Creator God. Okay, our relationship with the Creator. That's what we were designed for, is to walk in communion with our Creator, in a relationship with Him. And the things we do are an expression of that relationship. And I'll keep referring back to this regularly, but So that's the foundation, and this is just like any structure, right? Like if you build a structure of your life and that foundation isn't strong, you might build a successful life, but at some point in time, things are going to get shaky. How many of you have ever heard the parable about the man who built his house? The one man built his house on the sand, the other one built his house on the rock. And the scary thing about that parable, so the way the parable goes is, the one man had built his house. Two men built their houses. And one on the rock and another on the sand. And when they were done, they had these beautiful houses. And everything looked good on the outside, but then when the storms came, the only one that was standing was the one that was built on the rock. And we can take that in a lot of different ways. I started to pray through that, and he revealed to me that the house was this. It's identity. The scary thing is what's worse than that story is when you build your house on sand, but you think the whole time it's on rock. That's the real meaning of the parable. So the sand can be a lot of different things. It can be trust, putting our trust in anything. It can be putting our trust in our religious structure or somebody that we love or have respect for. And I've said it all weekend long, like the nature of man is that we're always looking for a God we can see instead of putting our trust in one we can't see. And so, so if we think we're on the rock and then all of a sudden the real storms come and we get a shaking down to our core, and I'm not just talking about losing things in your life. I'm talking about where you're teetering on the edge of life and death. That's why when he told me, he goes, now we're going to lay the new foundation. And it takes time, you know, for it to set. So you can let that, you know, unfold however it needs to unfold to you and what that means and seek that out, okay? So relationship with the Creator. Any comments on that? Okay, so typically we would think, okay, the next thing is our mate. And what I learned from Dr. Dave Gentry was, no, there's something very important here called personhood. Okay, and then the next thing would be mate. You say, well, wait a second. Aren't I supposed to, I need to put God in front of my wife or my husband, but then the next thing is my wife or my husband. Jesus said, quoting Torah, when he was asked, teacher, what is the highest law? What is the highest commandment? And he said, the highest commandment, number one, most important commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your body, all your being. And the second one is like it. Love your neighbor as, here's the key to the riddle, as the rabbi says, what's the question? Love your neighbor as yourself. So how can I love my closest neighbor if I don't love myself? I can't give what I don't have. And I can't love myself if I don't have his love. So we can make it work for a little while, but at some point in time, when that storm comes, that's it. Game over. Every wicked thing that's in us, every belief system that's in us, every wound that we've ever had is coming out. And he made the point, it's not what goes in the mouth that makes a man clean or dirty, it's what comes out of the mouth, because what comes out of the mouth comes out of the heart. So we can pretend for years. And that's where my life was. I mean, I knew it here. I knew him as God, but I didn't know his love. It says God is love. Didn't know him as my father. Didn't know what love was. Thought I knew. Didn't know what his love was. It has a different level of love. So this personhood can take on different forms, but and in some ways it's connected to here. But so let's get into the practical, you know, of that. What does that mean for me? And it might look different, and I'm sure it looks different for Danny. For years, I would look at Danny's walk. So personhood can cross. It can be time with the Creator, time in prayer. It can be time in study. Okay. Now the religious mind will say, well, when I'm at church, or when I'm doing these activities, then I'm doing this. But if you study all the prophets, and you study the life of Christ, there was that interaction of ministry, and over and over and over again, you will find a common characteristic. And then he went into the wilderness. He went away. He got away from the crowds. He spent time alone with the Father. We live in a day and age today where it's just constant. And that's the beauty of Shabbat and the way that they practice it. Because every week they're so diligent in that, in honoring that commandment, they're taking that time to separate from all the noise of the world to calm the spirit, calm the soul, get recentered, focus on what's important. So you see those common characteristics. So there's the ministry activity of the outward, but what about the pouring in? It's really hard for someone like me because I'm just like, I'm a very task-oriented, very project-oriented, you know, type of person. So I would look at Dani and she would, you know, for years it was 2-3 hours a day of prayer. And I'd look at that and I'd be like, I can't do that. My 10 minutes must not be good enough. Or the fact that throughout my day I'm in conversation with my Creator must not be good enough. But that's not the point though. That's not knowing who you are. Right? And you can't know who you are without this relationship. And until you know who you are, you're really very limited in the other important relationships. His priority in our life is relationships first. And he's teaching me that. Having to learn. So this might look different for different people, but for me, practically, in the morning, my brain does, you know, I'm more of a night person, and the mornings are a little slow. But just having some time set aside for prayer, for just calming my soul and my mind, and reading the Word. I've given you plenty of examples of my kind of daily prayer, which is mostly a daily confession. It's a prayer of thankfulness and confession. Because I lived for so many years under fear and pressure. And a lot of that pressure was I have to have the answer. I have to figure it out. And it manifested in an unhealthy way, very unhealthy way for our family. So that, for me, is, Father, I know nothing. You know everything. Help me to see what you see. Help me to hear what you hear. See, time lives in the Creator. The Creator doesn't live in time. He's already in the future. You say, well, the church says, well, say this prayer and then you'll have eternal life. And my question is okay, define eternal life. When did it start? When does eternal life start? Yeah, now. We're in it. We're already in it. We are already in it. That's why John the Baptist said, the kingdom of heaven is now. Repent, for the kingdom is now. So other ways that this personhood... for me, and you had mentioned that self-care is another word that's used. So physical exercise, especially if you're a man, but also for a woman, is healthy for the mental health. So if you're a man and you're... your work, your daily work is something physical, that's a good thing. If a lot of us now, it's this. So it's really important that we find something that we enjoy, because getting that physical release helps the body, the mind, and the emotions. Helps flush out toxins. Okay? Helps with aggression.
Can I say something here?
Yeah.
So even when our sons, you know, started coming into puberty, as a mother who spent a lot of time with my kids, I noticed, like, it was almost like in one day, you know, whoonk, they turned into something else. And we had three sons very close together in age. And just all of a sudden, my sweet boys who used to sit on my lap and play with my hair and that cuddled all the time, all of a sudden had a lot of aggression. That was, and it was because testosterone was going through their body. Their hormones were changing. And so I prayed, like, how do I handle this? Because I was like, what? You know, like, who do they turn into all of a sudden? And it was, let them go outside. They got to go do something. The minute I was homeschooled, they got to go do something to get their aggression out. And that never changes, men. Did you hear me? That never changes. You still have to have a point and a place where that aggression, that buildup of testosterone, you have to look back. If you've ever been to London and you go through the Tower of London and you see all the old armory that the men used to wear into battle, you see how much those chains weighed that they wore on their head, and then how much the helmet weighed on their head, how much the chains were on their chest and the armor on their chest and their, whatever that staff, javel, whatever that thing was. Even the smallest king, which I can't remember what his name was, but he was about 5'3". His armor was unbelievably heavy. And I just go, how many men in America today could wear any of that? And why? Because we have gotten weaker genetically. Yes. We have gotten weaker because we are not using our physical bodies the same way that we did. So generation to generation, there's been more and more weakness that has entered our genetics and our genetic pool, both in the women and in the men, because the physical labor, ladies, that our lives used to require, just washing clothes, just beating wheat to make bread. So when he says more for a man than a woman, I don't agree with that. Because there's something, we were made for physical labor. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We were made for physical labor, but our lifestyles have become so.
And it's going to get a lot worse.
Technology has weakened us mentally and physically. So if we want to make sure to stay strong, live long, live healthy, be able to think clear, we have to use the physical body in order to make that happen. Now, I'm the girl that said I hate working out forever. Forever. An atheist when it came to working out. And by the way, I made a statement yesterday. I don't want anyone to get the wrong idea that Hans was hinting about me working out. That was not like a random out of the blue hint. It was a direct result of a conversation about my health. Do you understand? Searching out health issues. And so from the searching out the health issues, he's like, maybe you should think about working out. You know, working out affects that. It does help in those things. And I'm like, whatever. I hate working out. And he was right. He wasn't telling me to work out because I was getting soft. It was about my health and protection for our future. So I didn't want to paint an inappropriate picture of his suggestion. Anyway, so we were made for physical labor. We've got to do something to keep our body alive. Brian Niederhaus told me a story about a year ago of a colleague of his at 39 years old dropped dead in his seat in his home. 39 years old. Why? Complete sedentary life. Sedentary killed a 39-year-old. So he worked all day and he came home. He was sitting all day again. So sedentary weakens us. So part of taking care of yourself and loving yourself is making sure to strengthen yourself. Hello, Proverbs 31. She strengthens her loins and her arms. Okay? That doesn't mean you have to become a bodybuilder, a fitness model, or any of that nonsense. What it does mean is that if you do not strengthen your body is getting weaker. That's the whole point.
Yeah, and
it has changed my life. Big time.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, it's not just physical. It's a mental health.
Yes.
It is a mental health thing. So it's really important, especially if your day-to-day job is not a physical job. So, You know, so that for me is definitely, you know, part of personhood. Relationships with other guys can be that. But as far as the daily routine goes, it's that, you know, morning time and then some time in the evening for a workout. Okay? It may look different for different people. And this could be abused to include every hobby under the sun and everything as an excuse to neglect these higher priorities. The reason for this is to honor the creator, honor his creation so that I can let his love flow in a healthy way, starting with the next person that's closest to me. What?
Your love flow over here.
Love flow. Okay. So the next is my mate, and you know, should be pretty obvious after this whole weekend, but she's the highest priority in my life, right? In my physical life here in this part of my life. And so I think where the challenge comes in sometimes is, when do I know if there's a request here or desire here to take time out for this? And for me, my conviction with that from that I feel from him was, it says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, patience, self-control. And then it says, against such things, there is no law. And in other translations, there is no sin. And he gave me a vision and a picture of like a boundary, like a bubble. And if I could live in that area, it was like there's buffer there. It's not that I will never make a mistake, but he's going to cover. Because I'm walking in his, you know, character. But if I'm outside of that, then I'm susceptible to transgressing on my closest neighbor, which is my wife. So he showed me a pendulum that swings, but it's buffered. And because I was praying at that point in my life, I said, Father, my life feels like a pendulum. And then he just showed me this picture, fruit of the Spirit. So if I'm starting to become impatient because I'm, you know, because of this part of my life, I need to invest more down in here. I've got to go for a walk, have a talk. I've got to do some reading of the scriptures. I need to sit quietly in prayer. And sometimes, you know, in our prayer life, we just can't shut up. We just think that praying means that we're just yakking all the time. Have you ever just sat? I mean, we do this at the men's pretty awesome experience, the men's boot camp in the summers up in the high altitude mountains in New Mexico. It's a very small, intimate group, and you get a lot of time to just sit. It's hard at first. Your brain's just, you know? So it says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. So that's for me, sort of my, when I start, and you could share your perspective on that, but I know there are times where I'm just not loving the way and I've shared it, and the way I've addressed it is I've said, honey, I know that there's this area that I'm struggling with, and I don't want to be struggling with this. I don't want to come home, for example, and be agitated by things that are going on in the home or family or kids or whatever it is. Or we're spending a lot of time together, and there's times where my reserve, my grace tank, or my reserve. There's times where we just love to be together, and then there's other times where I can feel that I'm running low. And we, you know, this has been an area that we've, you know, and then so that can be received as, well, what's wrong with me that I make you feel this way?
Yeah, it used to be perceived that way because you weren't saying anything about it.
Yeah, because I couldn't, I wasn't in touch, I wasn't enough in touch with my feelings to, and I couldn't own and confess what was going on in a way that was taking responsibility for it. I would just stuff it, and then it would come out in an argument.
Yeah. And so from my perspective, I thought I did something wrong. Tell me what I need to change. You know, so it was like, okay, am I doing this wrong? Am I doing this wrong? So then I'm asking more questions, which is just exasperating him, right? Because I'm guessing, I'm trying to figure it out, and then I'm feeling like,
oh. She's being exasperated too.
I am totally exasperated. So, and I have to tell you this, God gave me this amazing picture. We were at a family outing. Up in Washington, it was actually New Year's Eve, and my dad and his family was all there, and the craziest thing happened. We were there for a week, but on day one, Hans was like, you know, having a blast with everybody, talking to everybody. Day two, same thing. We see different family on each day, right? When day four came around, oh my gosh, all of a sudden, I just watched his eyes completely glaze over, and he was just like a zombie. And I saw it for the first time. And my heart filled with compassion. And I realized, oh my gosh, the poor guy. He's maxed out. And what would I do? Like, get the right heart. Like, what's wrong with you? We're with our family. Hello. Wake up. Come back. And this time it was like, oh, the guy. And then I realized, oh my gosh, how many years have I expected my husband to have my capacity for people? How many years have I expected Hans to have the amount of capacity that was given to me? That's my job. That doesn't exclude him for working towards more capacity, but it certainly gave me compassion of like, could you imagine? Like, I don't know what I would do. What would my response be if I didn't have the capacity that I have for people and to be around them and to entertain them and to host them and cook for them and feed them? Like, it was a terrible thing. And so yet another judgment revealed that was in our marriage that I didn't even know was there. I'm going to give you one more. I have this desire to care for the poor deeply, right? And here Hans and I were running a company together that is absolutely charity-driven. Okay, everything to do with DestinyGlobalDannyJohnson.com is all about healing, saving lives, saving marriages, taking care of kids, the next generation, all that stuff. And not that he wasn't that, but the point was is that vision and mission was something that was planted in me before I even met Hans, before I even met him. I was working in this mission. So then he comes in. Now, mind you, that's more of a priesthood kind of mission. Do you understand? And he is more of a king. I'm more of a priesthood mindset, love for all of this stuff. Do you understand? If you were to look at the character traits or whatever, but the bottom line is that my whole thing is like that. His whole thing is the other. And I had this crazy thing of like, in fact, I was with Mona when this happened in LA, about to go into the first steps. And I used to judge him because he didn't have the capacity to spend 3 hours with us in a team praying. So he would ask. And 3 hours for me is just getting started.
Stick a fork.
Okay? So he would ask this question every time, how long are we going to pray? I'm like, however long we pray. I mean, I'm not going to stifle the Holy Spirit. We're going to pray for as long as we pray. So I used to get so offended, and I used to judge him with my self-righteousness, judge him because I did not understand him or understand his makeup or even understand his position. So I used to question his spiritual leadership
Because he did not get the gift of intercession the same way I did. He has a gift of intercession. It's not the same as my gift as intercession. And neither one of them are better than the other or worse than the other. Do you understand? Why do I need 2 or 3 hours with earplugs in my ears in prayer? Because I'm a weak suck. That's why. I'm weak. That's why I need that time. My husband is much stronger than me. You may only need 10 minutes. You're not as weak as I am. I know my weaknesses. I know where I'm frail. I have got to have that quiet time for me. And you can ask him, how long have I done that?
For years and years.
Our entire relationship.
Yeah.
Our entire, even before I was rededicated my life to God, what did I do?
You got away. You spent time, yeah.
I got away for actually 3 weeks out of every month. I worked 4 days a month, and I was gone 3 weeks. Yeah, why? Because that's what I needed. That my connection with my God is more important than business. It's more important than money. And you guess when I screwed up? When I stopped doing that and I started working 100 hours a week. So then when I went, so when I started to go back to that again, it was 5:30 to 7:30 every morning. Erica, baby, on the toilet floor with me. Baby. Then Kay, when he was born, same thing. Why? Because that's what Danny needs. That may not be what you need. And it's flowed throughout the years. You know what I mean? Sometimes more, sometimes less. But I need that kind of time. And so be very careful. Like, look. So if somebody's a priest and being forced to be a king, or a king that is being forced to be a priest, that is torment and torture. You think about a profession that you have absolutely no interest, no makeup, no design for, and you go put yourself there. That's what I was trying to do with my husband. And honestly, that's exactly what he was trying to do with me as well. He was trying to get me to join him in the king, 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 king thing. And it drove him crazy that I could care less about money. I could care less about any of the next business, blah, 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 blah thing. And he wanted me to be more like him. I wanted him to be more like me. As soon as we just let each other be ourselves, which is what? Loving each other. Letting us love each other. And to be honest with you, once we did that, it was like, oh yeah, that's why I married you. Because of the risk-taking wild animal that he is. That's what I love about him. I don't want to be him. But that's what I love about him. I can't be him, but that's what I love. I love. He's a double dose of risk. And I am like, risk adverse. It's an awesome combination.
So we've had conversations about this, very different than what they used to be. She just gave you an example of what they used to be. Now it's a confession.
Yes.
You know, honey, I'm sorry, I'm struggling. I'm doing the best I can right now, but I'm feeling tapped out, or I'm, you know, a little frazzled. I don't want to be. It's not how I want to be treating you or others. I'm praying that Father would give me more capacity, and that's my prayer. So then, by the way, in that prayer, Father, help me to, oh, sounds like you're asking for more of my character, son.
He's glad to give it.
How do you, so then here's the question. How do you become more like someone? Spend time with them. We are who we surround ourselves with. So who's the most important personality, person, influence on our life? Right? Okay. Cool. Next one. Anything else on that? Yep, always.
Husbands, I just want to tell you that as he has confessed these, it's made me trust him. And it's drawn compassion out of me and tenderness and gentleness. When he has told me those things,
when he doesn't tell me, I would judge him. But as soon as he confessed it with that gentleness, honey, I'm doing the best I can. I don't want to treat you like this. I don't want to treat the kids. I don't want to be annoyed with the grandkids. I'm just tapped out. I'm doing my best. I'm praying. I'm working. And I'm like, I'm sorry. Okay, awesome. Now I know what to do. And that is to give him the time he needs, to encourage him, tell him he's doing a great job, and not be going, hello, McFly. Come back. Which only makes it worse. It's amazing.
Yeah, and in the past, it was a defense. Yeah. You expect me to... It was in a defense and an attack.
The defense was, you want me to be a woman.
And
that's what he said. You're wanting me to be a woman.
And the defense and the attack is the language of a victim. I have to is language of a victim.
Yep.
I need to is the language of a victim. It's also not sexy.
Mm-mm. It's not sexy.
I need you. I want you. I desire you.
Really? Wow. Thank you. Hot pants.
You okay, Don?
Yeah, I'm okay.
All right.
Fortunately, most of the room was asleep. They did not catch that. He just looked at a certain place. Are you okay there?
Just ask him. He'll teach. No? Okay. So the next one is children. So we also live in a culture today that is so focused on the children that we sacrifice our mate relationship for our children. And we're so busy catering to all the kids' needs that we don't have a date night. We don't stop. When I come home from work, first thing I do is come see her, greet my woman. And she's always looking good. I never come home and she's not looking hot. And she's hot even if she's not all done up. You know, I'm so sorry, honey. I didn't get a chance to put makeup on today or whatever. Are you kidding me? I didn't even notice. You look beautiful. So sometimes there'll be people, other people in the house, kids or what have you. And the only time that there's ever somebody that there's a greeting before her is if I'm cut off on the road to my embrace with her.
And from my perspective, something I've had to learn how to do, because I usually walk in the door right in the middle of when I'm cooking dinner, is to step away, turn around, and I also embrace him with excitement.
And a smile. Man, there's nothing more sexy than a smile. Nothing more sexy than a smile. I mean, a smile from a wife to a husband, you know, it communicates so much. So much. Like, it's huge. Guys, how many of you agree?
Oh, look at that.
Like, it is so much.
So, husbands, how does your wife know if it communicates that unless you tell her? Right? I never knew that until he told me. So I didn't pay any attention to whether or not I had a smile on my face until he said something. And I know there were years where I didn't. And he'd walk in the door and I'd have like just all the, you know, referee crap between all five of the kids and the drama and the, things that went wrong and the toilet that's broken, the dog crapped on the floor, my spaghetti boiled over, and I crapped my own pants. You know, whatever. Like, whatever happened that day is like, here! You know what I mean? He walks in the door, here, it's your turn, take the kids or whatever. You know what I mean? That is not honoring the mate. That's not honoring the marriage. The marriage needs to have that, just, and it's just a moment. He walks in the door dripping sweat two to three days a week, and I mean dripping sweat. So, yeah, it's quick. He runs, he jumps in the shower, has about 15 minutes to himself as I finish up cooking dinner. But I do, and often throughout the day, and it's really funny. Recently, we had somebody come to our house around 5 o'clock. I'll get up, do my thing, and I don't even get ready until he's about to come home. So it depends on my day and what I'm doing. If I'm working from home, I'm working usually in my workout clothes, you know, and then it's literally 15 minutes before he comes home, I beautify myself. And as well as spiff up the house, which now it's just the two of us, so the house stays clean all the time. But when the kids were little, and Erica can tell you that I made sure that I looked beautiful before he came home, and there's maybe 2 days a month depending on an event, honestly. So it might be once a month that I don't have, that I'm not done up. But I make sure that, in fact, you, I don't know if you remember this or not, but okay, guys, dad's about to come home. Yeah, so dad's about to come home. So it's to be like 30 minutes before he's coming home. Everyone scatters all over the house to get the house completely ready for him to come into his sanctuary and his place of peace. Dinner is cooking, so there's his senses, and I've done this our whole married life. It's been a high priority, not our whole married life, but, you know, 23 of the 24 years at least. And it taught the kids to honor their father and to prepare themselves to see their father. And yes, absolutely, it's important. And for them to see that this is what the wife is doing. Tending the garden, inviting him in to that place. So there's food that's being cooked that smells amazing. The kids are clean. The house is clean. And I am pretty and smelling good. So that's what he's walking into. He is not my roommate. He's my king of the household. So I am preparing that place for him. He's not my relief. Split shift worker. Do you know what I'm saying? He's not my split shift worker. Now, I know for some of you, the husband likes to cook. You are so freaking blessed, women, to have that. That's unfreaking real. And in some cases, he's a better cook than she is. You got to figure out something else that you can. And if he enjoys it, there's some guys that enjoy cooking. And that's an amazing, the best chefs in the world are men. That's an amazing, I wouldn't even know what to do with that at all. I wouldn't know what to do with that. What are you laughing at? Oh yeah. I wouldn't know what to do with that. But the bottom line is work it out. I'm just saying that it's my job, in my opinion, what works best for us, and it's my blessing to be able to have the laundry done, everything put away, that he's walking into a clean, fresh place. And that's important to me as a wife. And how do you feel about that?
Oh, it's massive. It communicates honor, you know, respect, that I'm valuable to you. Yeah. And that that I'm important to you.
That
you're giving it your best shot, your effort. You haven't just totally set us aside, you know. It's major.
Yeah. Major. On that note, we had somebody come and stay with us for a little bit, and she would begin. She's a teenager, and she was going through some really hard time, and she used to she noticed the pattern. And she actually came when I had all six of one of my daughter's kids in our house staying with us for a week, as my daughter and her husband were on a trip together. And so I have that thing ran very, very tightly, very, very smoothly. Every minute of the day is organized to keep six kids from killing each other and me from killing them. So anyway, so every day at the same time, okay, Pops is coming home. Guys, time to get everything in order. And we would do that. And then I would go change my clothes, put sometimes a nice little dress on or whatever, and I come out. And so about 3 days into it, this young lady who was staying with us, she's like, why do you do that? Why are you putting makeup on? And I said, because Hans is coming home. She's like, so what that Hans is coming home? I said, it is very important for a husband to come home to a quiet, peaceful place. And she's like, really? Yeah, I want him to be honored. I want him to feel that everything he did at work that day was appreciated. I want him to come home and rest and want to be here. And then so every day she watched this and she'd keep asking me, she'd stay with us for a month. So then eventually she about a week into it, she's like, my poor father. My poor father. I said, why do you say that? She goes, he walks in, we're all in our own rooms, on our own devices, my mother included. He cooks his own food for himself. The house is a disaster. My mom hasn't showered. None of us even greet him. And I said, and you wonder why there's trouble in the home? It's really clear to see. She said, my poor dad. He never is honored when he comes home. He's never welcomed when he comes home. So it was an awesome experience for this person to see this is a good thing to create this space to honor the head of the household. And that husband's been insanely emasculated his entire marriage by his wife and his daughters. Unfortunately, we're able to reach into the daughters and helping them to learn a different way.
He's doing really good now, though.
But praise God. He's standing. Well, amen. Yep. It's awesome.
Yep.
It's awesome. Yep. What if the wife is gone and the husband's home? It's a really good question. I would never...
Gone is in every day and the husband's covering the home and... Oh, retired?
Where, Rabbi?
You know, you figure something out.
Where'd he go?
Figure out a routine that
honestly, you know, we don't know. And if Hans was retired and I was gone, I don't know that I would forsake what I feel is my responsibility. Your husband's worked his entire life for the two of you, right?
Yeah, and I haven't, but it's been a little bit.
Okay, you didn't answer my question. No. Did your husband work his entire life by the sweat of his brow to provide for you and your children? You are not answering my freaking question. So this is real simple. Has your husband not provided for you and your family? Thank you. There's no justification here. Your husband has worked by the sweat of his brow to provide for you and the family. He has now in a position where he's able to retire, right? Is there an income coming in from his retirement? So he's still providing, isn't he? Yes. And the question is, there is no question. Are you not still the wife? Just because your husband is retired doesn't mean that you are no longer going to be the wife or that there's an expectation for him to be the wife. And if you're working, I don't know if that's between the two of you, that the two of you have agreed that it's better for you to work versus both of you being retired. That's a discussion between the two of you, and it's his decision, to be honest with you. It's his decision as to whether or not he feels it is best for his wife for her to be in that place. And that really is based on her attitude about it. Largely. If a woman has gone to work and now she's a rip-roaring from hell who now feels entitled to make a bunch of decisions and is going to push her weight around to make those decisions and manipulate power, I don't think it's a good idea for her to work. because she's doing it for leverage. It's all the wrong reasons to do it, right? So, and I have to tell you that I used to throw it in his face that I helped make the money. I used to throw that in his face. And it was wrong. So what I love about my life right now is I don't make any. I took the leverage out of my own hands completely. So for me personally, if Hans is retired, I don't know if I would like somehow require you to, I don't know what you would require, what you would ask.
Yeah, I don't know. And I do think, I think what you said is right. You know, it's between the two of you and it's a conviction. We're sharing with you what our journey and mm-hmm. conviction and our, but you gotta, you know, you gotta fit, if what you're doing is working, don't let somebody else say you got to change it.
It's true.
You know? But if it's not working, then that's why, you know, you tweak.
And you talk about it.
Yeah.
There's always a okay. healthy, peaceful solution. Always.
So all of these are very interrelating. If I'm focused too much on the kids, and by the way, they're our rabbi hit this other night, but us together, his primary impartation of his identity and purpose and destiny to children is through the parents. So if we're jacked, so tell me how good is that for the kids if we're neglecting this relationship? How much are we really helping them? We're not. And you see this all the time where, you know, work hard, 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 raise a family, and it is a lot of work. It's not easy. You know, then the kids move out, divorce. Why? Nothing in common, no relationship, no intimacy. Or in the middle of it. So yeah, so that's a big deal right there. I know we can camp out on a lot of these but I also know there's... Okay, so then the next one would be what I would call community. Or you could call it, traditionally you might call it church. But that word really just means those that are called out, yeah. Set aside. Right? I'm sorry. I messed this up. Actually. What, did I just mess up your whole... God, what's going on? It's the wrong damn pen. All right. Get rid of that.
It says dry erase.
Yeah, well.
It says dry erase.
No. Oh. Thank you, honey. Okay, so, thank you. All right, extended family, okay? Extended family. Extended dead family. All right, so these are the extended family members, mother, father, brother, sister, right? This is an order of priority. And then the next tier I'm just gonna, is would be what we'd call church, or what I prefer to call community. All right. And then my career. Sorry, my writing is terrible. And then lastly would be the world. The world around me. Okay. So just cover a couple of this. So this church / community, this is the often, you know, this is the brutal killer with, oh, well, I'm doing this for God, you know, and you see this in ministry type families and stuff like that. So all of these things are being sacrificed because I'm so busy doing this community type stuff and sucking the life out of me, or I'm, you know, so then you no wonder why there's, you know, divorce, infidelity, you know, kids that are busted up families, you know, and all those problems, because this priority line is not a line in you know, one of the scriptures that we use as a reference to this is, better is an unbeliever than he that neglects his own family. So if my spirituality isn't working at home, don't export it. Because my first ministry is my home.
Yes.
Not the freaking TV or the program.
Yep.
Or all the big stuff.
Yep.
It's the home. The home, the home, the home. You know, Rabbi talked about, you know, a man shall leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife, right? What is that? That's this priority here. And how many marriages are there where there's a real problem and a complication with an in-law, mother-in-law, father-in-law, where the father of his daughter didn't hand that off in trust to her husband? Not that he's not still involved in their lives and speaking into their lives and stuff like that, but there's got to be a release. Or the wife is going to her mother and in conversation about her husband, because that there's a connection there, granted, maybe a strong relationship, but now it's out of order. It's unhealthy. So there's boundaries there. And there's a hierarchy and a priority of honor. And there's been relationships in our lives where we've had to say, okay, I love you, but we've had to put up boundaries. Some family members.
Yeah.
You know?
Others.
Yeah. Especially when the kids are younger. Now that they're older, it's, you know, they're in his hands ultimately. But we're charged as stewards to steward his creation. The kids, right? So this helps keep that stuff in order. And then career is for provision, not ego.
Right.
And then the world is just, you know, extracurricular. You know, some people are so caught up in trying to keep the world happy that. So the biggest problems happen when this. Is blended with this, is blended with this. Because if I can merge all of this, then I can say, oh no, that's for the Lord. I'm doing God's work. Because I'm not walking in perfection, maturity as he defines it. And I don't understand the word, and I don't understand him and his character, so I'm using what I think I know as a form of manipulation and abuse.
Yep.
He cares about our home.
Yes. Yes.
If what we believe isn't working in our home, don't export it. Our first priority in ministry is in the home. So there's plenty more to talk about on this, but I think that's good.
Let's take 5 minutes in talking about the misappropriation of priorities, mm-hmm. predominantly career.
Yeah, career. So career can be massively abused. We get our validation from it if our identity and validation, which is supposed to come from him, not from her, not from my career. And I spent years, you know. And there were times where you, initially where you were early years. So That's a very natural thing where we get, and for me, this is my, still today, my struggle. He really revealed, hey, I care a lot more. I'm very project and task and just get it done, you know, kind of thing. So, and I worked for years. We had business together and did things, and I never really enjoyed it. I didn't feel like it was, so when I finally found my sweet spot, it was just like, yeah, you know. And then all the other things that were going on. But I don't think it's just a man, but men may be more susceptible to abusing the career part. One thing that really helped me, and this is really important, that let me write this down. Because this is the complication. The world is not an easy world today, and it takes quite a lot of time to work in a career. And as a business owner, I mean, Danny's, and she's been able to impart that gifting onto many of her clients, the 20-hour work week, right? Not the 4-hour work week. Good luck with that. But legitimate 20-hour work week, it's, and she's been able to do that, and many of you have been able to do that. There are many really good, solid business people that have busted it to survive and get a business off the ground. Most businesses fail. And one of the things that she teaches through the First Steps to Success events, how many of you in here have been through First Steps? I think most have, and creating a dynasty, the advanced seminar, is how to work and be more productive, right? How to get an 80-hour work week in 20 hours. How many of you would like to learn how to do that? Okay, that'd be a good skill to learn. but the thing is here is that time plus honor equals priority. So, because you might say, well, I'm 40 hours a week here or whatever. How can I have my creator first when I'm putting this time up here? It's the honor. Right? And we're supposed to be, I mean, the ultimate goal is that we're with him all day. Coming home, and I may be at work all day, but I'm, you know, there's honor there. When we come in the house or when we see each other.
It's also the reason why you do what
correct.
You do. So is your career all about you and ego? And trying to validate yourself, that's not honor. That's not honor for the marriage. Do you know what I'm saying? That's not honoring for the marriage. What is it really all about? What is it really for? That's where it comes down to. So I know that there are some of you that have careers that are rather intense. And, you know, depending on what it is, you're a doctor, right? You got midnight calls or whatever. You know, you've the profession that you've chosen now, I want you to know that there's always an opportunity to
justify.
Thank you. Yeah, there is always opportunity to justify, but there's always opportunity to change, modify, and make better whatever your current hours are. There's always opportunity for that. I cannot tell you how many thousands of clients I have watched that have given advice to of like, well, what do you want it to be? Now learn how to make yourself more valuable and negotiate with your employment situation so that you can get the hours, the actual specific hours that you want. And those who have done that, they got what they wanted. It's just that in our head, it was like, well, I can't. That'll never happen. And they never even ask. They never even explore what would happen if. What if I could do it the way that I want to? And that's what Time Secrets is all about. Don't limit yourself with your mind. There's always opportunity to and flexibility in places that you're not even aware of that the flexibility is clearly there. The other thing is like, for example, some of your guys, is, for example, who here is military? Who's active duty military? Okay, a few of you. So like some of the husbands get deployed, right? So how in the world do you do that when you're gone and you're deployed and that's 24/7 for 10 months? How do you manage that? Time plus honor equals the priority. So what does that mean? How are you honoring your spouse when you are deployed? Do you have date nights in some fashion. You can do that even if you're halfway across the world. You can work it out to where there are separated, remember, set apart time. What's a date? What's a date? It's a set apart time, isn't it? When set apart means holy. Kadosh is holy. So a date is holy. So whether the date is, and I gave the girls an idea today about a holy sex date. No joke. And they're like, what? Yeah, when y'all are out of town, there is a way. Like, really? There is. Look at the guys are like, what? You can ask her about it. You can ask her about it. You have a date tomorrow night. Her husband's halfway across the world. So anyway, yes, there is literally ways to have intimate time with your spouse when you guys are apart. So if you have some crazy, how many of you have a job that you have submitted yourself to, a career that you've submitted yourself to that takes you away from home a lot? Okay. All right, cool. So you have a couple of options. First of all, not all wives have a problem with that, right? In some situations, it works great. In some situations, it doesn't work great. And by the way, I gave your wives something to chew on and to search out that if she's overly needy, basically got a baseball bat across their head on this one. But anyway, so bottom line is that it's all about honor, and it's all about the set apart time, and it's all about the special things that you guys do for and with each other. It's all about the messaging. Do you understand? It's all about making sure that that person is the highest priority no matter where they're at. When I come to First Step Success, and Hans is on his own trip doing whatever it is that he's doing, come on, you know these weekends are packed. How much time do I have? Very little outside of being here with you, right? But I make sure to contact him, whether it's text, and I'm sending him similar messages that I trained the girls today with that, you know, are rather enticing. And I am building expectation each day for him and for me. I'm building expectation for myself. And you all see it by the time Monday rolls around at First Steps to Success. I am so hot and bothered. I can't wait to get the heck out of here. Like, I got to go. I have a place to be, baby. I have something to do. Anyway.
Something.
Things. I have things to do. Anyway.
Someone.
For hours. Hours and hours and hours. Anyway, that's what it's about. So if the spouse is the higher priority and the career is not, then you're making sure that you're not, that you're making sure you're taking time out of that, even if you're gone, to make that hot and sexy and wonderful and romantic and amazing. Do you understand? Because if they're the higher priority and if the career really is about providing for the family and not your ego, then that is not even something you have to think about. It is just something that you're going to do. Why? Because that you're going to keep that communication open and in line. And there are men who do it very, very well and very, very successfully. I look forward to Hans going to his boot camp every single year. I do. He's gone for 9 days at a time. We have absolutely he has no cell cover, so we have zero contact with each other at all. And I look forward to him having that time. Why? I get a better man back every summer. Every summer, my husband comes back better in every way. Not that he wasn't good before he left. He's phenomenal when he left. But this refreshed man that comes back is incredible. And by the way, back to the personhood thing, time of refreshing is so important. It is so important. So it's not only the daily things that you're doing, but it's the yearly things. It's the getting out of the normal place, maybe even leaving the country. This is why we travel so much too. When we leave the country, you get away from the atmosphere of our own nation. Even if you just get out of the atmosphere of your own city, something changes. Your brain opens. How many of you notice that? That as you travel, like you get away and you get in a different culture around different people, your head see things very different. You actually think more clearly. So we tap into at least 4 times a year
functions that bring refreshing to us. Me, a little bit more than that. Just like the trip to Israel that we'll be doing. You coming here was that. Do you understand? This was taking care of what? Which one of those? Personhood, God, and mate. And who else? The children.
Here's the crazy thing. When you do this, when you focus here, everything improves.
Yep.
When you focus here, everything is strengthened. Right? Because look at the structure.
Yep. So anyway, learning to manage your time with really practicing this thing of keeping those priorities like that and managing your time accordingly, you will become much more efficient and much more effective of everything you do. You will also watch that when you follow that thing in Time Secrets, you have a much clearer head towards everything. So clear with direction, clear perhaps with decisions, clear with a focus and skill set. Do you know what I'm saying? So when you segregate your time and you go all in those places, then things just grow faster and they're much more productive. And I'm talking about the marriage. I'm talking about the sex life. I'm talking about the health life. I'm talking about the every part of the life. You know what I mean? So, but the refreshing is really super important. And ladies, your husbands need time to go be men. They do. They need time to go be men, and you need to bless that. You need to bless that time that he needs to go pound his chest with other guys. He needs to go get dirty out in the dirt or whatever it is that he has to do that lets his testosterone just go, yeah, freely. That he gets to roar and scream and perhaps cuss and fart and light them. That he has nobody around telling him what to do, which we should never tell them what to do anyway. Do you understand what I'm saying? And by the way, ladies, you should try to light a fart. It's kind of funny. It's like super hilarious. Just try it. It's awesome. Anyway, it is. It's hilarious. It's absolutely hilarious. So anyway, let's do this. You guys need to pee. Okay, let's take a 10-minute potty break from here. Oh, I did. Thank you, sister. He might be, but that's okay. Thank you. Oh, my goodness, my friends. This has been just so rich. Man, so rich. Okay, I want to send you home with a really important strategy. And there's basically three more things that we're going to do in the next hour and a half. So be ready, okay? Three simple things. Some of you... Oh, honey, you cannot. You cannot do that. I was trying to give a demonstration earlier, and now here it is. Here it is. Hi. Okay. All right. So this is really, really important. So you've heard us talk a lot about our failures throughout the weekend and our successes. This one simple tool is so powerful. And I wish I knew when I originally taught it, because you need to go find it to get the full teaching of it. But it was at a First Step Success. I think it was in San Antonio. And it's about your anger. It's about, let me just do this for you. See, Hans and I, we were in that you know, stirring, as you heard, of all this anger and all this crap, right? And the revelation that God had given to us separately happened after another blowout. And this blowout, I personally felt as the wife that I was living in a crossfire. There's just, bam, just like constant stuff. As the healing was beginning, there was still this just, gosh, just a really hard season for about 2 years. Yeah, for about 2 years. And I don't know if you've ever felt like you're in a crossfire or not, but it's a very painful thing. And after another blow up, I had come to this place and I heard the word reset. And that word reset is really powerful. It's very similar to release. So the release means it's over, it's gone, it's finished, it's all done, right? And a reset, again, you've heard me say this, like, just like on your cell phone, it erases all your data, okay? That's what a reset does. It erases it as though it never even happened. And that's a choice, do you hear me? It's stubbornness that holds on to the pain. It's stubbornness that holds on to the so-called wrong that you feel has been done to you as a victim. So the thing that helped us, and Jen or one of you guys, can you guys try to find this training? Are you doing that? No? I need someone to find it on our website, the one I'm talking about where we talk about the calendar. That was a website thing. I did it out of First Steps to Success. I think it might have been in San Antonio. It might have been 2 years ago. Might have been a year or... No, it's definitely not a year ago. It was 2 years... Say what? February 2016. She checked February 2016, and let's make sure that this is that one. It's a really powerful, powerful training, and you all need to hear it. But I'm going to give you the short and condensed of it, but you need the rest of it. So I started posting up a bunch of scriptures are in my bathroom about being slow to anger, because anger was the issue that both of us had. We both were just like, you know, all of a sudden, bam, right? And then we're feeling bad. So after one of those bams, okay, now let me just give this to you really quick. Proverbs 19:11 says, a man's discretion makes him slow to anger. And it is his glory to overlook a transgression. Okay, that's Proverbs 19:11. It's a man's discretion that makes him slow to anger. And it is his glory to overlook a transgression. So ladies, it's a woman's discretion. It's for both of us. It's not just for the man, but it's for both of us. It's our discretion. What's our discretion? Because we know the error of our own ways that causes us to be slow to anger. It's our pride that makes us ticked off and overreact. Why did you do that to me? I've never done that to you, okay? So it's our discretion that makes us slow to anger, and it is our glory to overlook a transgression, okay? There are many. Proverbs 12:1, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but whoever hates correction is stupid. Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. Proverbs 12:16, fools show their annoyance at once. Fools, I want you to say that with me. Fools show their annoyance at once. Can you give me an example right now? Really? Come on, give me an annoying reaction. Okay, fools show their annoyance at once. That was us. In fact, he used to do that a lot. And I remember one time we were in a full-on fight, and he did that, and we both started laughing. 7th graders do that.
Now we just do it to tease each other.
Now we do it to tease each other. Anyway, let's say it together. Fools show their annoyance at once. None of us want to be a fool, right? But the prudent overlook an insult. The prudent overlook an insult. That's humility. The prudent overlook an insult. Proverbs 12:18. Proverbs chapter 12 is a great chapter for all the anger stuff. Verse 18. The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise bring healing. My wise husband. I have had more healing from the tongue of my husband than I have in any other place or setting.
And we so often look for a pastor, a priest, some holy anointed evangelist to bring healing and deliverance for us, when all the while, the greatest place for healing and deliverance is right here, one flesh, because that is where we are godly and representing him. Wow. Okay. Ooh, that was
hungry, hungry woman.
Proverbs 12:18. The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise bring health and healing. Proverbs 14:29. He who is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is quick-tempered exalts folly. Proverbs 15:18. A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but the slow to anger calms a dispute. You're amazing. You're so amazing. Proverbs 16:32. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who captures a city. Proverbs 19:11. Sorry, I already gave you that one. So I had these all over our toilet room. They're still there. As reminders and reading them every day as I personally was trying to control my own anger and trying to control my stupid, reckless tongue and all of my foolishness. And after a big blowout, in fact, this blowout had me sleep in my car all night. And I didn't go home. I just slept in my car not far from the house. And that's when I heard reset. Reset. And the whole concept of it being something that erases. And the next day, I went to Hans. And we had dinner at this, or lunch at this Korean thing. Can I meet with you? I want to know if you would be open to keeping a calendar and that we track the days that we are doing great, and we also track where we're messing up. Because the Bible is clear, and it says to encourage one another as long as it is still today, to encourage. Would you be willing? And I said, and even if you're not, I'm okay with this. I am making a commitment that I am going to hit a reset button whenever you have an outburst, or I have an outburst, I am going to hit a reset. And I'm going to ask that you be willing to do the same with me. That I'm not going to stew over it, fight about it more, but that I'm going to ask you that if I say, can we have a reset? I just let something out of my mouth that I should not have let out of my mouth. Can I have a reset? And if you're not willing to give that to me, that's completely okay. But I'm wondering if we could do exactly what the Word of God says, because it says that he will not return void. So it says to encourage one another as long as it is today, and that to edify one another. Also to be kind to one another. If we could just focus on practicing kindness, encouraging, and edifying, I think that we could help the situation that we're in. And he was so wonderful in that setting, as far as this is from my perspective, as I remember it using 10% of my fried brain. He says, I think this is from God. So I said, so we have a calendar every day that we do good, we put an X in that box. And when or if we screw up, we just put a squiggly mark around the time of day that we screwed that up. So let me show you what that looks like. Okay, so here's a day on a calendar, right? So it's an X, right? So that's a good day. We had a day with being kind, encouraging, and edifying. That even if a dispute started to burst out, if I chose, my line goes down, his line goes up, that if he had a moment, rather than if I practice kindness, edification, and encouragement, that I chose not to be provoked, because love is not provoked. That if I choose, that if he's having a hard time, that I choose to be kind, I get a straight line that day. Here's my little star in kindergarten. If, however, I chose to be a wench to him and I wasn't kind to him, then if it was, let's say it's the next day, and I did not, I was rude and mean-spirited and I accused him of something, and if I did that at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, there's a squiggly line. And if I did it for an hour or 10 minutes, there's a little squiggly line there. But if I reset and did better for the rest of the day, I got a straight line for the rest of the day. Okay? So, but Hans, if he was in kindness and encouraging and edifying and he didn't react to my little squiggle or my principality of darkness that manifested out of me, he gets a whole straight line. Okay? So he said, I think this is from God. Yeah, I will agree to that. Okay, great. So our second day. So here we start the calendar. This is so funny. So we have the first day. Hold on. We had the first day. We had the second day. We're doing good. The second day, we had a full-on blowout. So first day, we did good. We did good. We had a first day, nothing. Awesome. The second day, we had 2 hours of separation and stewing and pissed off at each other. And it was at the end of the night. So we had that right there. So this was, we had a whole squiggly line. Both of us did this. So we had like, hey, we actually did really awesome for the day. When we came in towards the end, we screwed up. So then it was reset. And then here we went. Okay, boom, boom. You'll never guess what happened. We went 30 straight days without a squiggly line after that first day. The second day. We went 30 straight days. And the first thing was like, dude, we made it 30 straight days. And then Hans goes, uh-oh. Get ready. And he kept saying that, uh-oh, get ready. And then guess what would happen? There'd be a squiggly line. We'd have a squiggly line, right? There's the squiggly line. There's the squiggly line. So again, we went 30 days. I went, honey, this is amazing. We thought we fought all the time. We don't fight all the time. In fact, we don't have full bad days either. We have a moment in a day, not a whole bad day. Even if it's 2 hours, it's only 2 hours of a 24-hour cycle. But isn't it interesting that if you don't have a reset, what is it? It turns into a whole bad day, right? So this went on for a while. In fact, it went on for a long time. But nonetheless, every 30 days, I would say, oh my gosh, we went 30 days. Like, I'll get ready. We're going to fight. And he was being joking. He was literally joking about it, but then it would bust out, right? So then I started going, oh my gosh, it's every 30 days. It's every 30 days. Oh my gosh, it's every 30 days. So I pull out my phone where I have a period tracker. I have my cycle tracked. And I look at it and I'm like, I gotta make sure that, am I causing this? Is this has to do with my cycle? So I look at it. No, it had nothing to do with it. It wasn't anywhere near around my cycle. But is it around PMSing time? No, it wasn't around at all. So I was so very grateful that it wasn't my hormones, which I was really proud of myself that it wasn't my hormones that was making that happen. And if it was, it was like, I'm really sorry. You know, I think I'm about to cycle or whatever. And he's always been super patient about that also. Always so, so awesome. Where he'd go, are you about to start? No! That was before the calendar. So anyway, so it turned out, thank God, it wasn't while I was ovulating and it wasn't while I was whatever. But anyway, this calendar saved our life. It saved our life. And what happened was is that we then eventually went 202 days with nothing, not a squiggly, not a moment, not a nothing. We had, and mind you, we were going through really bad stuff. And this is the part that I celebrate the most of anything. It wasn't that our life became easier. We were actually going through the hardest, most debilitating, terrible things in our financial life. Not that it was bad finances. No, we had been misguided in some areas. Bottom line is that it was an accounting overhaul, absolute tax nightmare that we went through that normally would have buried us. And yet my beautiful, wonderful husband with so much wisdom would come home and not bring home the stress or the pressure of all of the stuff that he was dealing with at his office every day at all. He left it at his office. He came home. He embraced me as his bride. He never wore that pressure and stress on his face when he walked in the door. He didn't, in the past, I felt like I had to pay for whatever tormented him during the day. He didn't do that at all. He brought nothing but peace when he came home. He left it all outside and walked in the door and was a precious man. So we're talking that first 202 days were days that were horribly hard, but gloriously wonderful and peaceful. It was wartime, but it was peacetime at the same time. It was war professionally, but peace in our marriage. So absolutely incredible. So then we had a moment. We had it was a 5-minute moment of, and it was uncomfortable. It was not a blowout. It wasn't a fight. I was laying in my hammock. Hans came outside and something, whatever triggered it. And he wasn't screaming at me. He wasn't yelling at me. There was none of that kind of stuff that happened. Just, it was, something was starting to elevate. I was about to just, you know, and we both were pretty calm, but it wasn't the day that got the perfect line. Do you understand what I mean? We did. It wasn't a fight. It wasn't for hours. It was a 5-minute whatever. He left. He went and took a walk, and I stayed in the hammock, and I stewed for a little bit. But literally, there was, meaning it wasn't, it hadn't warranted the nothing day. So 202 days, zero for nothing at all, and no uncomfortable moment in 202 days. And then, so that then started to restart again, and we are over now from, meaning started, we started over on the calendar, zero. We had to start day one, day two, all over again. And we're well over 600 days now without anything. Well over 600 days. So, and that was with, that's with our fifth child moving out, and both of us, like, you know, there's things that happen inside of you as a parent.
More than 600 days.
Yeah, over 600. So it's over 800 and something days with only 1 5-minute moment.
Maybe
it's over 800.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Over 800 days with
close to 3 years. Yeah.
Well, that we started the calendar.
Yeah.
I have it at home.
Yeah.
I counted.
We gotta
before
add
I came.
It up again.
I counted before we left for Hawaii with the complete reset. So anyway, get a calendar. Whatever it is that you're working towards. So if for some of you, it's crisis and fighting, right? So we have to learn to work together through a crisis. We were still going through a crisis. Do you understand that? So we were able to mature in a crisis instead of do this in a crisis. So the crisis is there. It doesn't mean you have to do this in the crisis. Like, we just went like this in the crisis. So you can do that. And literally it was making the choice. Am I going to use the word of God and believe it or not? I'm going to show kindness. I'm going to edify. I'm going to encourage. And I'm going to reset. I'm going to quickly forgive. Quickly forgive. And that creates just a beautiful, safe environment. Did you want to add anything to that, or you want to keep that right there?
No, I think it was good.
Okay, cool. All right, that's awesome. So back to, we're going to take a quick step back to this. You wanted to talk about the career and a career being out of balance. And what to do and learning new things about that.
Yeah, so, you know, I want you to just picture this. Here we are, we spent this whole weekend talking about, you know, the most important thing, which is the marriage relationship and what that means, what it looks like. And yet, most of the time, our whole business career and most of the events that are done are focused on business. And most of the testimonials in this room are business testimonials. And so let me ask you, so this is the career, regardless of your job, profession, business. Is there anybody in here who would like to be able to learn a skill to be able to double your income and work less hours? Nobody would say no to that, right? And so, you know, this whole weekend we've been talking about this idea that my whole reality, I'm creating that every moment, constantly. This 6 inches of real estate is the most important real estate on the planet.
Wow.
There are people in this world that are millionaires, billionaires, right? Men and women. What's the difference between them and you? Think about it. It's what's in here. There is no other difference. There is no other difference. You say, I mean, anything else you come up with, you say, well, they were born into a good family. Okay, well, what about all the ones that achieved that success that weren't born into a good family? Oh, well, they had the right contacts. Okay, well, what about the ones that didn't have the right contacts? It's what's in here. So how often do we invest in that? You know, and in our day and age, we get an education, we go to school, get an education, get a job, and then we think, oh, well, that's it. We don't need to keep investing. And then we go through life and we're working like a slave in our career, in our business environment, beating our head against the wall. And yet there's strategies, there's skill that we can learn that somebody else can teach us to be more productive. So the real question is that, I mean, if there was a way to optimize our career, part of our life, right, so that we can grow and achieve more and have a more successful business, why would we not make that investment? There's an answer to it. It's not stuck, right? Like whatever it is right now is not the way it has to be. You're not stuck there. There's a process that's not on trial, that's proven, that's been going on for years and years and years, that has radically transformed people's lives. Many of you here in this room. And so Danny, you know, we started the weekend off kind of business and then merge into this relationship weekend here. But, you know, Danny has a background of, she's a trainer of champions in the business marketplace. Highly skilled. Highly, highly skilled. The marketplace pays for value. Our value is determined by our skill. So she's going to share about some stuff that's coming up. And I would just say for me, you know, I was a commercial diver in Hawaii. And in my heart, I was like, someday I'm going to be a business person. My first mentor was my martial arts instructor when I was a kid. Thank God gave me some stability and some structure, which I needed growing up. He was a multimillionaire in real estate. My second mentor and coach was Danny. And she's the one that I learned later on through other sources and other application, but initially, all of the core marketing strategies and stuff like that, she teaches that. I learned that from her. And many of you in here have seen similar results. So what am I feeding into the garden? Right? What am I doing to make sure that I'm planting seed? And what kind of orchard is that growing into? What kind of legacy is that creating for my life? Because knowledge and skill can pass on throughout generations. How many of you didn't have somebody in your family pass on a high-value skill to you? I didn't. And if you did, you'd know how blessed you are to have had that transfer. Back in the days, that was how you survived. Now that intergenerational connection is less and less and less. 2,000 years ago, if my father was a carpenter, I would be a carpenter. Or a blacksmith. And so I didn't grow up wondering, what am I going to be when I grow up? By the time I was 13, I'm no longer in the care of my mother, and I'm out working with my father. Now we live in a day and age where, who am I? And it's going to continue to accelerate. So we're no longer, and the biggest problem that's going on in the world right now is that the world in general, all of the retirement planning systems, all of the advice you hear out there is mostly geared towards the industrial age. We don't live in the industrial age anymore. It's long gone. We don't even live in the information age anymore. We are in the machine age. So things are accelerating rapidly. So we cannot be comfortable with the skill and the knowledge that we have from yesterday. What you know today is already being made obsolete. So we've got to make that investment into ourselves. And we've got to learn. And we need to learn from somebody from a proven coach that can teach us, put us through the ringer, right? If you're learning a new skill, it's hard in the beginning. You got to go through the drills. You don't just show up for practice and then leave and say, okay, I'm going to win the championship. You want to be a champion, you got to drill it. You drill it. You drill it. You drill the basics. So, if you want to improve that area of your life and also learn, continue this experience here this weekend and continue that growth of learning how to improve this bracket up here, but in a way that's going to impact every area. Meaning you're not going to learn a skill or a concept or a philosophy in your career priority that's going to be in conflict with those other places. Because that's the big challenge. As you go out into the world, you go to a business seminar, and I go to them. I go to just to get the exposure of different thinking and thought and stuff like that. But the challenge is that oftentimes it's just very conflicting to what personal values might be. So you fight this. You know, we're in that battle constantly in our culture and our society. Okay, so let me just ask you this question: 5 years from now, what do you want your income to be? What do you want your net worth to be? What kind of legacy do you want to leave for your family? I would just say this in here: every man that's in here, you should have a vision for your family and a goal to build seed capital. Okay. To establish with the families of old and families that have prospered through multiple generations. I'm talking hundreds of years. There's a couple things in common. One, the family business, typically. Okay. Two, the concept of a family bank. How are you going to now? I'm talking about billionaires.
Yep.
Okay. So there's many things that they do that are just not practical for us to try to emulate. But there's all kinds of things that we can model after if we have the knowledge and the skill and if we learn. So a family bank is seed capital that's there to help that next generation. Not to hand out something for nothing. Okay? How are you going to build to that point in building your family legacy if you don't even have the basic skills yet to build capital, to save? The whole world today is basically designed to reset each generation financially. And it's been designed that way by the elite to eliminate the competition. Because they understand how powerful a family can be. How does it happen? Programming. Programmed to be a consumer. You've been given an identity from the world that you're a consumer. Consumption does not create wealth. Production creates wealth. Wealth is created through production, not consumption. How do you produce? You bring value to the marketplace. The marketplace pays for value. The marketplace does not pay you for what your need is. Pays you for what your skill is. So that's number one. That's how they keep you reset. Programming. Billions and billions and trillions of dollars spent every year by multinational corporations to feed you commercials, infomercials, advertising, messaging, to remind you constantly of how deficient you are. To tell you are nothing without this. Here's the latest and greatest trinket. If you buy it, you're somebody. If you drive X car, then you're going to get the girl.
Yep.
All of the advertising is geared towards this sexuality thing.
Yep.
And playing off of insecurity. And if you don't know who you are, oh, you'll tell me who I am? This is what's going on genetically. It's not happening here consciously.
And they're targeting the men and the women.
Men and the women.
Right? They're targeting the men and the women. If you look at all the advertising that happens during the day, it's targeted for the women. The advertising that's shown on television at night is targeting the men.
So that's the first reset right there. Chop you off before you even get started. Right from the time you're born. Because you're baptized into that religion of consumerism, debt, and consumption. Through your parents, keeping up with the Joneses, however you want to call it. Okay? So right there, you're going to consume because you haven't been programmed and you haven't been trained how to be a producer. You are what you've been trained to be. You think what you've been trained to think. Go to school. Get a good education. How do you do that? You're 18. What's the first thing that happens? You get credit card offers. Anybody ever seen them? So you're programmed. You go to meet with a financial planner. You go to the bank to get a loan. And what do they calculate? You can afford the payments. No knowledge, no understanding of the balance sheet. Okay, I can afford the payments. So that's your second reset right there, debt. So first one is you're programmed to be a consumer, then programmed to go into debt. Consume, debt. Okay, there's many of these that happen throughout your whole life. Okay, you start a business, you become successful. The next thing that happens is you don't understand. You do not have the wisdom and the knowledge to build the right kind of assets that make you wealthier and richer every year. So what you do is you start acquiring negative cash flow assets, depreciating assets. Cars, houses, boats, all the fancy stuff. What do you mean, Hans? You get a raise? What do you do? eat out at a nicer restaurant, buy a nicer car. Why? Because they can afford the payments. Live in a nicer house. Why? Get a bigger house. Why? Because now you can afford the payments. So that's number three. You acquire the wrong type of assets. Okay? Number four. At some point along, oh, here we go. Number four, income taxes. Okay, that's another reset. So whether you're an employee or an employer, you're paying monstrous amount of taxes. Okay, that's a reset. Okay, what's another one? Eventually, as you build success, you get into a lawsuit. So the next reset are the racketeers. Who am I talking about? All your professionals. Or a divorce happens.
Health is another reset.
Health is another reset.
Bad health.
Okay. And in that conflict of divorce or lawsuit or whatever, boy, I'll tell you what, there's no shortage of a line of people that are there to help you. So there's another reset. Wealth transfer, wealth transfer, wealth transfer, wealth transfer. And these things happen throughout the whole lifetime. Then you're told, oh, just hope that you save enough money so that when you're old, you can retire and then you have enough to live off of and you don't run out of money before you die. Modern portfolio theory, financial planning. Another reset. Okay? Then what happens? You die and there's estate taxes. Another reset. Okay? Want to know another reset? Your next generation doesn't know how to properly manage what you've built and what you've created. Inherited wealth is one of the most destructive things on the planet. Wealth that's inherited without the knowledge and the character to manage it is destructive. They know how powerful a family can become in a single generation, let alone two generations, let alone three generations, four generations. What's your vision? What's your limit? It's just what's in here. That's it. So I know there's an opportunity coming up, and if I was you, I'd be on it. And I wouldn't be like, oh, it's so hard to do that or blah, blah, blah. I would just do it and just make that investment. Make the investment. Stay on the path. Stay on the track. Right? You're not just fighting for that bill that you're behind on. You're not just fighting to drive a nicer car or live in a nicer house or take a nicer vacation. You're fighting for an unborn generation that is coming. That's what you're fighting for.
Powerful. Zach, can you come here for a second? Zach. Yes. How many of you are already familiar with creating a dynasty? How many of you are registered for the next Creating a Dynasty in San Antonio? How many of you are not registered for the next Creating a Dynasty in San Antonio? Just a few of you. Okay. Wanted to give you that opportunity to go. How many of you don't even know what Creating a Dynasty is? There's just a few of you. It's a 3-day advanced training seminar. These people who you saw their hands up who've already been, they all have a story of paying off debt. They all have a story of increasing some area of their career, their finances, or any of that. But for those of you who are not registered for even Atlanta, we'd love to see you in Atlanta. And we'd love for you to bring people to that October 14th through the 16th event in Atlanta, which, again, is about relationship, money, and business. Now, part of what's made this weekend so powerful is it's been filled with Dynasty graduates, right? Who, again, has never been to a Creating a Dynasty? It's very few. Very, very few. So part of the amount of incredible growth that we've all had is because you guys have already had so much growth. The soil was so ready for what has happened here this weekend. And because of the readiness and the vulnerability that was in you, because you already had so many skills, communication skills from Creating a Dynasty, that it caused the atmosphere in this place to be at a completely different level. And so I know we have been asked many, many times, when is the next Hot Marriage Secrets? How many of you want to know? Right? The answer is that we do not have one scheduled. We don't. But at the same time, what we are learning is that it would not be the same if it wasn't Creating a Dynasty graduates in the room. It would not have the same impact if we had not all been through all of the stuff that we've already gone through, all that training, right? All of the communication skills, the what happens on Friday night, which I'm not going to say because some here haven't been in and I don't want to ruin it for them. What happens on the Friday night at Creating a Dynasty, if we did not have all of that foundation already, and how many of you have been to 2 or more first step successes? 3 or more. 4 or more, 5 or more, 6 or more, 7 or more, 8 or more, 10 or more, 20 or more. Do you see what I'm saying? Do you see all of that growth that you guys have all had? So when you came here, you were beyond ready. And what you did is you pulled from the three of us. Do you know what I mean? That's what happened, is that your readiness and your level of maturity where you already were was very, very high. So if we had this room with nothing but people who haven't even been to First Steps, which again, we have like 25 maybe that had not been to First Steps. So therefore I had to kind of teeter some of the content, and we kind of had to go back a little bit to come forward a little bit. I think we need to be in a place where we don't have to talk about anything that we talk about at First Steps or Dynasty at all, and it's just 3 days of nothing but this kind of stuff and more of the really intricacies on how to solve the real problems that we live with every day. And at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter how much money that we make. No, and I promise you, as this is right, and I know you can feel it, as this is right and you get stronger in this relationship, everything else begins to change, especially the finances, which brings me to this, really importantly. Number one, ladies, I talked to you about the three things about a manhood of a man, right? So according to the Ketubah, it's provision, protection, and pleasure, right? These are the three things that he commits to us to bring into our lives, right? Well, consumerism is how they take us away from those three things, right? So the addiction to consumerism and enticing us with all these other things that are supposed to make us feel beautiful, make us feel wanted, make us feel smart, make us feel valued, pull us away from those three things, protection, provide, and pleasure, right? So having said that, and I taught you how to bless the pleasure, ladies, and how to speak life into that very joystick. Anyway, But there's something else. Remember I told you these three areas that our society has cursed.
You get to speak life into
the warrior.
These three areas have been cursed. So, and you guys, the ladies, you discovered what particular area had been cursed, right? And I hope you made it right at lunch in some way. But there's another area that has really been cursed, and that's the finances and his career, right? Where we've put it down. Every time we say we need more, we can't afford, I wish I could, all of that stuff is cursing his provision, the manhood of provision of his life, and or not ever saying thank you. Not ever blessing him because he has provided in that way. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But instead, it's just this entitled thing. What we neglect will die. Okay? So I want to encourage you guys, not only the ladies, but everybody here, to bless each other's hands, to bless each other's work. Right? Whatever part of the work it is that we have, but to speak blessing. And so I not only... Now, because I realized what an entitled, spoiled, rotten, freaking brat from hell I was, you know, thank you, honey, for providing the house that you have provided for us. I've thanked him for that. Thank you for protecting me. Thank you for looking out for me. Thank you for how you've given us a home and how you've protected all of us and how you've given us great beds to sleep on. And I would go through all of this, but more importantly, this is what I've come to recently. I bless you in your work, and I bless your mind and the brilliance that you have and the innovation that you have and the powerful marketer that you are, and I bless the work of your hands, and I say yes, that whatever it is that you touch, go for it. I believe you, and I'm behind you 100%. It's so important to bless the full manhood of who he is and to say that. So girlfriends, if you have not done that, please don't leave here without blessing and speaking life over him in that and supporting his ideas and what it is that he wants to do instead of only having room for your ideas and expecting him to support and bless you in your part, but that it's all of it. Because really, what is this all about? What is this really, really all about? What this is really, really all about, and because I told you, what is inside of the man is the future, the seed, the life. Generations, thousands are inside of him. This is legacy. Right here. This is Anthem. Say hi. This precious little boy named Anthem Hosea was inside of this man. Do you hear me? Yeah. And Zion was inside of that man. This is seed of his seed. Do you hear me? It's about legacy. So it's hi. Hi. You want to see Pop? She was inside of him. That one was inside of him. These were inside of him. And what's to come? And he was inside of his father. It's about legacy. It's about these future generations that as I watch Erica and Zach grooming the next generation for success.
as I see them here this weekend. And I hear and watch how they learn. And how they will then pour that down to their next generation. This is what it's about. And generations will know what you did for them as fathers and mothers, as you came together as one flesh and you chose to be godly by knowing each other at such an intimate, deep, and powerful way. This is what it's about, his future. And his children were also in Hans. Zion's future grandchildren are in Hans and me. Your life is not your own. Your life is not your own. So we must do what it takes. We must do what it takes to keep that priority structure. Doing our best, we're going to fail. That daily calendar. Everything you learned this weekend. It's not just about the two of you. This is grandbaby number 8. Biologically, what? Hans is number 2. Who now knows how to walk. Come on, Zai. Go on, Zai. Go on, Zai.
Come on, dude. He's jamming, though. Yeah. What's up, buddy? What's up? What's up? What's up? He's like, what the? What's up? Come here. Come here. Check it out.
So what's your vision? What's your vision? Believe for the impossible because we serve a God who can bring it. Believe for the impossible. Because anything is possible with him. We believed for a great son-in-law. I prayed for a great son-in-law. Hans prayed for a great son-in-law. A man that would love and care for our daughter. We have such a good son-in-law.
Yes.
He is everything that I prayed for and more. He cares for her. They're learning how to be one flesh. They're learning how to fight the battles together. They're learning how to be a family. They're learning how to manage their finances. They're learning how to get up after they have fallen down. They're learning how to do everything that we all have to learn how to do.
He wants to walk.
They're taking their first steps.
Chairman.
They're worth it. They're worth you doing everything you learned this weekend. They're worth you keeping a calendar. They're worth you declaring war on debt. They are worth you learning how to express your feelings and your love. They are worth you tapping into your God. They are worth you learning new skills so that you can teach them to them. They are worth you growing. Because you know what would not be here? None of them would be on this stage if I and Hans had duplicated what was trained into us. That would not be alive. These beautiful people and this beautiful, amazing Zion would not be here if Hans and I did not focus, if we had not learned what we've been teaching, if we had not learned our first steps to success in creating a dynasty, if we had not plowed through the financial wars and all that pain, this life would not be here today. And there are lives inside of you and around you that are still yet to come. So if you feel like you screwed your family up, it's okay. It's okay. It's not over. It's not game over yet until the last breath. There is still time. There's still time. So what's your vision and where are you going to go from here?
I don't know how to do a dinosaur.
Where are you going to go from here?
Make a palm tree.
All that money that goes to consumerism? Just imagine being able to set up your grandchildren to travel the world with them. That's on our list. Like, parents, y'all can stay home. We're taking the kids to Hawaii. We have a mission of roots. We are. That's on our thing. It's like, we're going to take the 8 grandkids, and you parents, you figure out, you got jobs, you got things you got to do, but the grandkids need to know where we come from. They need to know the roots. They need to go to the beach Nona was homeless on. They need to go to the places where Pops was a commercial diver and sold Lays on the streets. That's dreaming. So tonight as you head home, dream. Dream together, by the way, which is another place of intimacy. That's another place of intimacy, is dreaming together. Giving each other the opportunity to share what's in your heart. Totally unashamed and unafraid. And then choosing to bless that in each other. Okay? So what I would like for you guys to do right now is I want you to turn to your other part of your one flesh. To you husbands, the beautiful part of your one flesh. And I would like for you, I'll hold because you guys have to do this too. You can go back and sit down, actually. We got this covered. Pops is coloring with Anthem. Honey, your microphone is on. It's off now. I want you to turn to your partner. And husbands, you lead this. And what I want you to do is I want you to bless your wife. I want you to speak a blessing over her, blessing her beautiful form, blessing the work of her hands, maybe even blessing in areas that you had never blessed her or thanked her for. This is your time to say thank you for some very specific things and to bless, like pray a blessing, speak the blessing. This is who you are. And I bless this in you. Go ahead and, husbands, do that now. Wives, you just receive, and nothing else yet. Wives, I don't want you to start until I tell you to start. So, husbands, go for it and bless yourself. Sitting here tripping out big time, man. When I first started First Steps to Success,
26 and a half years ago, I never, ever, ever imagined this. Anthem farted. on Natan's chair. Thank God we're not religious, but my Anthem Hosea farted on the rabbi's chair. Never did I imagine, you know, I saw Erica walking. Erica would be at the events and she'd be walking like Zion is walking. Just like right now, whatever it is, vision that you feel is coming into clarity for you, it's so much beyond that. So much more beyond that. Jen. Oh, we gave you your envelopes. Yep. You've been dying to know what's in there? Open it up. Because, hold on. When you open it up, you're going to see. The old you. The old you. That's your old survey, the survey that you filled out to come here. Minus a few things, but just your answers. And if you want, you could share yours with your spouse if you feel like you're ready for that. But that's the old you. You're not that person anymore. Amen. Amen. Man is dead. Yeah, you guys didn't fill it out.
I did too.
You did?
I kept filling it out.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it said responded, didn't, responded, didn't respond, responded, didn't respond. Wow. How wild. That's it. Yeah. And it's funny, it was on both of yours. No response. That's so funny. No, you don't have to say sorry to me. That's really wild. So those were your old answers. You know what you wrote. You know what you're. You know you're new today, and the old guy is dead. But as you look at that, you get to see, like, wow, these are some of the things you were worried about, and maybe you're not as worried about them anymore. And you found some answers. And after a weekend like this, you now see where you were and where your heart is now. Isn't that amazing? Just however many days ago that you filled that out and what your mindset was when you filled that out. And here's the kicker. God had this man and this woman in mind who you are right now. That's who he had in mind when he gave you the invitation to come to Hot Marriage Secrets. He's the one that gave you the invitation to be here, not us. He's the one that set all of this up. That was him saying, come, my son, come, my daughter, come with me. Come away with me for 3 days and let us learn together. Let us learn together. I want you to be free. I want you to see what I've designed you for. Thanks for allowing us to have this experience with you. And thanks for providing the space for me to go through this very healing experience too. I got so much out of this. The three of us got so much out of this. Would you mind speaking a Hebrew blessing over us? Stay on your feet.
Yes.
I was offering to do it just for Zion, but...
No.
Okay. Before, if I can just say, like I said to the men before, thank you for making it so easy for me to be here and opening your hearts to whatever he sent for me. Hey, my brother. We're fart brothers. Yivarechacha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'chuneka. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
I'm not going to translate it, just take it how it is.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, thank you. Yes. Thank you. That was the Aaronic blessing. It's right in your Bible, exactly how he said it. It's in your Bible. And it's the blessing that Aaron was commanded to give the children of Israel. And you know that according to your faith, we are the seed. The same seed, we're brothers and sisters. As Abraham was chosen because of his faith, he was the first that was adopted by God because of his faith. So he's the father of our faith. And what an awesome, beautiful privilege to not only know that the promise that God gave to Abraham is standing right here. The blood of Abraham stands right here. The Bible's still alive and well. And ladies, you don't know this, but there was a man who rallied around wanting to gift Rabbi Natan, and the men stepped up and gave $5,300 to bless him and his wife. Wow. It was amazing. And I want you to know that I don't know if you're hungry like I am to learn and to go back to our roots and fill in our faith's roots, because most of our faith is floating somewhere in the air, not connected to anything. And Jesus was a Jew. And to understand him better, understand the people. And he came to fulfill the law, came to fulfill it. What did he come to fulfill? If you don't know what that is, you don't know what it is. You can all say he came to fulfill it. Well, if you don't know what it was, you don't know what was being fulfilled. So there's an opportunity to gain more, especially about sex, from Rabbi Natan. He has his website. He has classes. He has an entire program that's been put together. It's really cheap, $400 for how many videos?
I put together resources specifically for this, four audio lessons of over an hour on creating a family vision, on communication, on sex, extending what we've spoken about here. There's also videos that I'm just chucking in. And the whole package is $400. 50% is going straight back to King's Ransom. So it's Rosh Hashanah in 2 days. It's time to begin, to start anew. The offer is only going to be, I don't even know what day of the week it is today.
Sunday. First day of the week.
Okay. So by Rosh Hashanah, Wednesday, I'm going to have to close it off because I can't have all that stuff coming in because I can't serve you for another 3 days. So I'm going to close the offer on Wednesday, $400 for more than 6 hours of resources. As NI say, 50% comes straight back to King's Ransom. And I can tell you that I know because I have the honor of being the Levite who is giving that money and also giving the support. Danny pushes me, go sit with the people, cry with the people. I know where it goes. This is trustworthy people. This is a trustworthy vision. And you will be blessed for buying into that, for sowing seed into that.
Yep. Yep.
So thank you, Danny, Hans. Thank you so much for giving the space here, for sharing the stage, for giving me to share the stage with you. It's been an incredibly humbling experience. And please God, it's the first of many.
Yes, amen. Yes.
Sorry, the address is ravnathanalexander.com. It will get shorter. I've bought a shorter one. I just don't technically know how to make it happen. Thanks, Kev.
Ravnathanalexander.com. A-R or A-R?
A-L-E-X-A-N-D-E-R.
E-R.
.com.
Right.
Okay? Facebook as well, but that's where the offer is. God bless you. Thank you.
Yes. So RavNathanAlexander.com. And by the way, I didn't say that. Like, he's a Levite. He's of the lineage of the Levites. And the Levite's job was to take care of the poor, the widow, and the sick. So that's what King's Ransom has given him the opportunity to do. That's his job daily, is doing biblically what his job is. There we go. Oh, thank you for doing that. Awesome. So what a blessing, and I don't know if you've studied anything about what happens when you bless a Levite, but it works. It works very well. Also, if you can help me thank our volunteers for all the hard work and effort that they have done this weekend. Let's bring them up here for them to take a bow. Come on up. There we go. I turned myself off. I can do that all by myself. How many of you have been real good at turning yourself off? How many of you learned this weekend how to turn yourself on? Which is awesome. And it's perfectly good to do that, not just okay. It's holy. It's holy to do that, which is so powerful. Kingdom of Darkness lost this weekend so badly. So badly. So badly. So badly. Like, so terribly. Anyway, most of us are Dynasty graduates, and most of you all know each other, which is also what's made this entire experience so powerful. How many of you knew a lot of people who were here this weekend? Isn't that so? Yeah, so it's like a family reunion, you know, and Roto-Rooter at the same time. You know? Gosh, it's like so powerful. Anyway, most of you know all of them, and they know most of you. And obviously, this event could not be successful without all of them. And none of them knew what the event was going to be, what was going to be taking place in the event, and neither did we.
So, which is what made it be what it was. So literally people were on call throughout the weekend because there were certain things that were going to happen and the other things happened that were much better that were going to happen. So they had to be extra patient this weekend and had to walk by faith with us as God parted the Red Sea for us this weekend. Because I really believe that's what happened, that there was a parting of the Red Sea for all of us this weekend, and that takes faith and not knowing what's on the other side or whether or not we're all going to die and drown and regret that we ever, ever came up with the name Hot Marriage Secrets. Regret that we ever set the date to do this thing that's tormenting me right now. I think we can all say that we are all happy that we did what we did this weekend and got to work together the way that we got to work together. This was by far the most important work I think we as a team have ever done. I think it is the most powerful, the most important thing that our families could have ever made, the sacrifices that we made to be able to do. There's really no question in my mind about that. So thanks for being a part of the very first Hot Marriage Secrets. And if there is one in the future, we would hope that you would be part of that team that helps to bring that to pass as well. You guys did various different things, all kinds of different tasks, and got less sleep and did all your homework and made all of those things. How many of you would be glad to do that kind of homework anytime? Right? So we really, really appreciate the sacrifices that you guys made, and thank you for helping to support the team that comes from our office here in the Texas area. So we appreciate you so, so very much, and I just pray that God blesses you over and over and over and over and over again, multiplied for the sacrifices that you've made into generations that will be changed, and seed that has been planted, and gardens that are now flourishing instead of thicket and thorn filled. So thanks again, and please continue on the journey and continue to be the example that you are. You're an amazing community, a really amazing community. Thank you. I'm gonna go back. If you can help me thank our Destiny Global, DannyJohnson.com team as they head up to the stage. That would be awesome. Missing a couple, but that's okay. Wow. Wow, guys. Do you know that every single person on this stage, plus there's a whole bunch more at home, had something to do with putting this event on? Every single one of them. Every single one of them. Exactly! Hold on. There are two birthdays. Come on, come up, come up, come up, come up. Both of y'all. Over here to the center. Front and center. And two anniversaries?
That's right. Today is
the McCracken's anniversary. 24 years today. That's awesome. Yeah. So I'm not going to ask how old Carrie is.
Old enough to know better, dumb enough to try.
Old enough to know better, dumb enough to try. That's what she said. But today... right about now. Switch yourself. Say that again.
Never forget where you come from, son.
I don't.
You said never forget where you come from, son. For whatever reason, it's not working. What'd you say? Oh, never. Oh, what?
Never forget where you come from, son.
The ball sack. He came from the ball sack. As you can see, we're a bit of a family, right? Guys, we did it. We did it. God so powerfully used you this weekend. Yes. He so powerfully used you this weekend. Thank you for having to walk by faith with us in this whole thing, this crazy idea of a marriage conference. Brian and Butch and Jen, when I came to you with the idea and the burning in me, thank you for believing in it and believing that we should. And that we could. And even though pressed for time, timing, calendars, you know, existing promotional schedules, everything that we already have to manage, that is a lot that the three of you have to manage, you trusted me and said yes. You could have said no. And you gave it your best shot. You juggled more than you normally have to juggle. You had to be very strategic. We had Nicaragua. 2 weeks later, first steps. 4 weeks later, this. 2 weeks to fill it. Your teams who followed you and followed you well. New problems that you had to solve. A lot of unknowns, a lot of uncertainty, but the faith of the three of you carrying the load. You carried the whole load of this whole thing. And I'm so very, very grateful for your leadership, your faith, your belief. And Hans, thank you for blessing me and allowing me to do this and allowing us
and you to do it with us. Because this was one of those things. That when literally, and I felt God say, don't wait for him to say yes. You just have to do it. You just have to go. You have to trust me and step in. And literally, all the way to a month ago, you had not agreed. Yeah. As of a month ago, he had not yet agreed, and I didn't pressure him. I was just going to trust God. And when I scheduled it, I called my friend, Ralph Nathan, and said, I told him what I was doing. We were originally going to do something in December, and it wasn't going to be this. It was something different. And he says, I'll be there to support you. And if you need to run things by me or whatever, I'll be there to support you. And that was it. And he wasn't going to speak. It was just, all right, be here for support. I could use that. That would be great. And as everything came together, and our God, like, just put it in me, like, no, Nathan's going to talk. And then, yes, and then Hans, and these two men that so brought it to the stage this weekend was so phenomenal. Thank you for blessing us with all of your wisdom and all of your strength and all the caring and being so strong and humble and vulnerable all at the same time. And Hans especially, with allowing our very personal part of our life to be shared and our personal, very painful failures of our life to be shared. That's an incredible amount of humility in you to do that, and a great strength as the protector and the provider and the absolute pleasure giver of this home. I really, really appreciate you being willing to do what you did. So,
thank you.
This whole team, you guys, you shined. You shined, you shined, you shined, you shined bright this weekend, and you shine bright all the way into leading into this entire thing. So generations, this is what it's about. Generations will be changed, no question. The future is different for all of us. And I love that when all of us were knitted together in our mother's womb, that he had this weekend in mind. That he had this right here, that he prepared all of us for this. So good job. Good job. Good job. Good job. You've done phenomenal. Thank you for allowing me to have vision and trusting God, really. Trusting God and allowing this to happen. You guys did awesome. You did absolutely awesome. I don't think I would have had it any other way. It was phenomenal. So, yeah.
Thank you both for your persistence with each other.
Yes.
Because if it wasn't for that, this wouldn't be here. Mm-hmm. None of us would be here.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you.
Good job.
Proud of you.
Thank you. I love you too.